welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KBNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm Jill Spears, your host, and I'm here with my favorite organic gardeners again. Another Wednesday together.
Yes.
Hi, Lance and Lulu.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, everybody. Oh, it's so good to have this regular meeting.
It is.
Yeah, there you go.
The meeting of the minds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of crazy minds out there listening, and we would love for you to call us tonight.
As always, don't wait, okay?
Yeah.
You can do it like right now, and we have a new red light. Make the red light blip.
There you go.
Yeah.
527-486-8866, KVNF now, worm at kvnf.org. Because gardens are just changing up. It's
Holy
like the season
cow.
Is just yeah. rolling
Yeah,
quickly.
It is. It's rolling right along. We got a ton of stuff we could talk about.
Yeah.
Well, the corn and the sunflowers are having their race to see who's going to be tallest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And where's your corn? Every time I drive by a cornfield, it's like bigger than when I just drove by it. It's
yeah,
great.
It's probably about 5 feet.
Okay.
And just starting to put out the tassels.
Now, that's your Jubilee popcorn?
Jubilee popcorn,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jubilation. Oh, never mind.
That's we love your songs.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Okay.
Life is a song.
It
yeah.
is. There's a song for everything.
Yeah.
Well, with these hot days, because it is now hot and dry, what about tips for watering and some of the plants that are stressed or wilting?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that to get started.
The main plant in my garden that's wilting every afternoon is the winter squash.
Yeah.
And anyway, I don't worry about it. That's what plants do in the heat of the day to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And stuff. And if they're still wilted in the morning, they need water.
Yeah.
But they're usually everybody's standing right up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we are all wilting in the afternoon.
Yeah. I mean, figure it out. The other thing that I would like to mention again, I've mentioned this before, is be sure you water your potted plants until the water's coming out the bottom.
Okay. That's,
yeah.
that's real key. Because, you think you're watering them and the soil on the bottom has gotten hard and it may be super dry.
Mm-hmm.
And the roots are down there because they've been growing all summer and they aren't thriving because they aren't getting water. So everyone,
yeah.
You don't have to do it every time you water, but I did it the other day, and I did it before I gave everybody a dose of fabulous fecal fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the dirt was wet all the way down, and the fertilizer is going to go all the way down. So that's real important. Your what do you call those smart pots? If you have raised beds or anything that's above ground.
Yeah.
And even in the ground. You got to get all the way down now. That's the key.
Some of those potted plants and or smart plants. I know that's like a brand name, but some of those get super hot.
Yeah. Yeah, they're standing out there baking in the sun. It's not like the earth evaporating. It's a container, so it can evaporate all the way around square, whatever you've got.
Yeah.
Well, I see a lot of people making raised beds using corrugated steel.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how hot that is
on
the sunny side?
Yeah.
Maybe not so much the north, but in the morning on the east and then,
afternoons on the west,
and then you got the south.
Yeah.
And the sun's starting to move farther south. So
days are getting a little shorter.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Well, the red light's flashing.
I love it. That works
okay.
great.
Cool.
Because it's Don on the line. Yay, Don, for getting right on it. He has a question about squash.
Okay.
Hi, Don.
Hey, hello, Worm.
Hi.
Nice
Hi.
To hear from you.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, this is a great conversation already tonight. I figured I'd jump right in and not be shy. I got some butternut squash that's looking pretty healthy, which was it was just leftover seeds, and I figured I'd give it a try.
Okay.
Good for you.
And I was wondering, I've It doesn't look like I want to trellis this stuff, but I'd love to hear about trellising it and supporting it, and if there is a secret squash bug dope, because I have them here, and I didn't even know what they were, but now I have them, and I go check them every morning and noon and night and pick the little egg, little patches. And so, over to you, please.
Okay. Squash vine dope.
Well, if you're going to trellis them, you're going to need a really heavy duty trellis.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
They'll be fine, but you're going to have a good heavy trellis. I've not heard of most. Actually, no. I have a friend that is trellising his winter squash.
I've done it. I've trellised everything you could possibly trellis. Mm-hmm. And I had this lean-to of utility fence, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they just were so happy. The thing you have to be careful of is that you don't get a squash stuck between the wire.
The wires,
the squash is below the wire. Yeah. But yeah, they'll do it, and they're just fine. I've done all kinds of unnatural things with pumpkins and spaghetti squash.
So it's funny that knowing where you're at, Dawn, that you have squash bugs out in the middle of the desert when nobody's ever had a garden out there.
Yeah.
So that's just, it's, you know, they... It just seems odd to me. But also, since that's the only squash that's there, they're going after it when normally they do not like butternuts.
Oh, really?
Supposedly they don't go after
their least favorite.
Their least favorite, and they don't particularly go after the winter squash.
Yeah. You know, they like the Maximas. And the Pepos.
And the Ninas and the Santa Marias.
And the Santa Marias, right. But here's the other thing, Don. Do you know the easy way to look for the eggs?
Well, I know how I do it. I get down on my hands and knees and kind of peel up the vines and go through everything and look.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Get a mirror.
Oh.
Ooh, okay.
Clever.
Oh, wait. Oh, I've got a new prop for these phone calls. That mirror gets this.
Oh.
That's going to help me a lot.
Yeah.
You get a mirror, and you know, if it's on a lot, you can, whatever you have to do to make it so you don't have to bend down, you know, put it on a stick, get one that has one of those flexible parts on it or whatever, and just use your mirror, and you can find the eggies without crawling around on your hands and knees.
Oh, gosh. It's a new routine that I've gotten into.
Okay. Right. Maybe take your selfie stick and put a mirror on it.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, then since we're on squash, I've been wanting to talk about the squash vine borer, which is another bug. And you don't ever see them, and the plant will be growing around just fine, and then it starts wilting. It'll come back the next day, and then wilt some more. Eventually, it's dead. And what the squash vine, the larva of the squash vine borer are laid in, go into the base of the squash plant right at ground level, and they actually eat it all around. I just pulled one of these plants the other day.
That was dying?
That was dying and stuff. And what I do now is I take a 2-inch strip wide and say 4 or 5 inches long of aluminum foil and wrap the squash vine at the base. And it generally gets most of them. And I think this was affected before I had done that. But anyway, that's...
So do you just do that routinely then?
I just do it,
to prevent preventative measure?
Yeah. I don't wait.
And it's a fly, right?
It's a fly.
Yeah.
See, and it's actually
almost not playing fair.
Yeah, and it's actually not actually a pretty fly.
Oh.
It's actually quite pretty. And anyways, you can do the aluminum foil. Some people really like, because the spinosad will kill borers, but the borer is already inside the plant.
Right.
So it's a little late. Yeah. You know, so.
Right.
But just another thought.
Do they have a preference for the type of squash that they attack?
Anything? They will go any squash.
Yeah.
So there's something else, Dawn.
Okay.
Yeah, Don's yeah, out there in the
like
back 40.
That seems like an easy preventative that I might as well just do anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, hedge your bets, you know. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
All the time. So go for it. How's the plum tree? Don came and got another plum tree.
Oh, nice.
And planted it in Hotchkiss, yeah?
Actually, one of them went to Hotchkiss, and one of them came to the Dobies down here.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
So the one in the Dobies looks like a tree that you might cut off of its mother plant and move to a much hotter climate and put out in a 50-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah, buddy.
I think it's going to live, but there was a really strange wind the other day. All the leaves were blown off. But I think based on getting one to live down here last year, it's going to live. And I don't know what Larry's results are yet in Hotchkiss.
Oh, fabulous.
Well, you're really doing it up down there in the Adobe's, Don. Yeah, you give all kinds of things a go. And
yep, it's awesome.
It's what it's all about.
Yep.
I'm trying. I try to make it sound good on your show.
Fake it till you make it. That's
right.
The story. Yeah. Good on
you. All right.
Good on you.
All right. Well, thanks for letting me be part of the conversation tonight.
Thanks for joining
thanks
us.
For
appreciate
calling.
Your
right.
call.
Talk
glad
to
hear from you.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
See, he's not scared. That's why.
Right. He's got these conditions that you wouldn't even think of gardening in.
Right.
And he's making all kinds of stuff happen.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Trees. Mm.
Trees.
Squash.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
Oh,
organic
trees.
Matter and water.
Yeah. That, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Turning it into a little oasis down there. I like it.
Yeah. There you go. I love it.
All right, 527-4868-866, KVNF now. You can send your email to worm@kvnf.org. And let's see, let's just talk a little bit more about watering. And let's talk about lawns and what to do with your lawns these days.
Yeah, well, we always said mow high, but the reality is you only need to water at most 4 times a week. For 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
If you have a sprinkler system.
Yeah.
And 3 is okay. And, you know, depending on the situation, you might get a lot away with 2.
Right.
You know, and...
The higher you let your grass grow, the deeper the roots go down below.
Mm-hmm.
So the higher above, the deeper below. And it's I realize it's difficult for people because it does look shaggy. But, man, it works. And then there's all these cool animals in there, too. Well, insects. There's all these cool insects. There's daddy long legs, and there's these cool beetles. And, you know, it just, worms. The worms are having a huge big time. Lance was feeding the robins the other day.
Yeah. But, anyways, I think in general, because we live in this high desert, people want to water more. But because of our soil conditions, it doesn't work. You're actually watering too much and stuff. And I've seen, even in my yard, which I'm not watering that much, and I have a peach tree that's yellow-leafed and a plum tree and one of the grapevines. And I'm not watering that much. So so you got to be careful on those things, this heavy clay soils.
It's too heavy, yeah.
Right. And also think about replacing your lawn with something... A substitute, some clover or yarrow.
The yarrow works
I love
really
the yarrow. It's so lush and it's like a spongy.
Yarrow is really interesting because it grows. It's so drought tolerant, and I've got a bunch of it. And some of it looks fabulous, and some of it looks not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to work it, get it to work for you, and if you know.
And, you know, you do have to mow it because if you don't mow it, those flower stems come up and then you got stems.
Yeah, right.
And it's not pretty. Yeah, mine's.
I'm mowing it high, but I don't know.
Yeah. I can't mow mine because of where it is. But, it's all tweaked out and it's, you know, it's okay.
And there's definitely other grass lawns, lawn grasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of there's, mixes these days. Yeah,
there are lots of mixes, and there's most of them have a lot of different, three or four different types of crested wheatgrass that is extremely drought tolerant. And crested wheatgrass is not a native here. It's native to the High Plains. But it does really good here. Mm-hmm. I have it all over my property, and I never planted it. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, of course, they talk about buffalo grass. That's a coarse grass.
That's hard.
And it's not that pretty at all. No. But if you don't have kids and you just got this area that wants to keep the dust down and stuff, there you go.
Yeah.
And there's blue grandma grass.
Yeah, the blue grandma. And there's a fescue.
There's a fescue.
There's a fescue that works pretty good. But the thing with the fescue is that it clumps up. So, for instance, my yard is like that. My grass, my 800 square feet of grass is lumpy. So when you walk on it, it's tricky. But I love that because that trickiness, that variation in the theme back there makes it available to a lot of different species of bugs and creatures. You know, things can hide in it, and you know, and the grasshoppers can't use it. If it's longer, they're not going to be able to lay their eggs in there. They may be attracted to go to it, but they can't lay their eggs if it's. They need naked dirt to lay their eggs.
Oh well, that's a good reason right there.
Mm-hmm. So if it's your grass is longer, and you know, they always used to talk about raking out the thatch.
Right.
Mother of God.
Well, if you're using chemical fertilizers, you're going to have to rake out the thatch.
Yep.
Oh, so that's why that's such a practice, because it comes from traditional lawns. It's
traditional lawns.
Yeah.
I've never thatched. I never raked my leaves.
No, me either.
And I never have a bowl.
Yeah,
right.
Me either.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, raking out the thatch is like inviting the grasshoppers to come in. Oh boy, thanks. Yeah,
yeah. Right, because now they can access
that soil under there.
Yeah. You know, that thatch thing, they go into lawns. Even if you're using organic fertilizers, you're making it grow too much. And you're picking everything up.
Yeah.
You know, so I've never even raked lawn clippings. Just leave them right there.
Yeah, right, me right too. When you mow.
Yeah, and it just goes right back in the
mulch
ground.
It right back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it always cracked me up when mulching mowers got to be a thing. It's like, oh, God. And everybody was, you know, getting rid of their lawnmowers and buying a mulching mower. Well, if you don't bag your grass or if you can cap off the end where the grass all blows out, guess where it's going to go? It's going to mulch.
Right back into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So be water wise. I just think that's, we've got to remind each other about that. Water is our lifeblood.
Yeah, it sure is.
We've got to share
if you're bogarting water, it's, you know.
Don't bogart that water.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're definitely calling in some bad karma, I think. But, you know, who am I to know? Who knows? You just share and share alike and keep the main thing is keep it flowing. If you're real green and the guy next to you is real dry, well, the grasshoppers are going to be born over in the dry side, and then anything you've got growing over on your green side is up for grabs.
Yeah.
So figure it out.
Right.
You know, figure it out.
Be a good neighbor.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. You've got be kind. Thank you, Lulu. You've got some nice grass in your pathways in your garden, Lance.
Mm-hmm.
And our friend and fellow worm, Amber Kleinman, and I went up to visit your garden last week, our worms on the road trip. And we're going to play just a little clip that and take a listen. All right, here we are, worms on the road.
Hey, Amber, good to see you.
Thanks for having me join you.
Yeah, and we're up at Lance's garden this week, so really excited to kind of tie everything together that we talk about. And
I just made another compost pile, and I'm keeping track how many.
Uh-huh.
That's number 12
for this year.
For 2024?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it took about 2 hours. I do rebills worth of, this is all yard waste and kitchen stuff from last year. Then I put one wheelbarrow of that hay, which is the bottom of a stackyard. And they wanted to clean it off before they put new hay on. And then I do one wheelbarrow of leaves. And then I put some compost in there as a starter,
uh-huh.
the finished compost. And then I put manure on top about an inch, water that in, and then I repeat it a second time. So now for the next 2 weeks, I'll throw my gray water from the kitchen sink on that pile.
Just on that pile.
These got enough moisture now.
How often do you check them and then re?
I turn them once a week. And after all these years, it's the first 2 weeks of turning of a new pile that I have to water it. After that, I don't need to water it anymore. Because that gets it evened out.
All right, here we go into the magic garden.
Ooh, through the threshold.
Yeah.
So lush and green already. Really
well,
good.
Well, anyways, mm-hmm. This is all beds. So we got a bed and a half of onions. And you can see the Hungarian bluebird poppies, or dumb blooming. And that will all be seed. These are the potato onions. And see how they're falling over?
Yeah.
So they're almost ready to harvest. Then you dry them out. I'm still eating last year's potato onions.
Huh.
They store really, really good.
And they're called potato onions.
And that's what they're called, potato onions.
Because they cluster like that?
They cluster and they store.
Interesting. Okay. And they're small.
And they're small.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, yeah. Those
and next year, I'll plant that and get all those onions off of one.
No kidding.
This will plant, and what is there on that one plant? There's 11 onions off of one bulb.
Wow.
And this is what I like to see. You can see the different levels of the carrots. And there's a smaller patch up there, and I'm almost done thinning the fifth bed. Thank goodness.
This is what you've been thinning right here, this carrot
Yeah,
bed?
So you can see the top of the bed, it's weedy,
oh, uh-huh.
and that's all the purslane. So I've been weeding as I'm thinning.
Is this compost on this bed of Pinocchio?
That's how I keep the, it's only about 1/4 inch thick at most, and that's how I keep the soil from caking so that the small seeds can come up. Because all those carrot beds, all the onions, everything that I've seeded in has that much compost on top.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Mm. You know, and then let's see, what am I doing here? That's going to be some more Finocchio. This is going to be the first planting soon of German Lutz beets, one that's known for the big greens. And then I'll plant lettuce and cilantro and green onions here. And then everything's planted.
And this is a different layout than last year?
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. Yeah, because last year, all these beds were over there.
So you're just rotating?
That's how every year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Move it around. Last year, this was all potatoes. You can see the volunteer potatoes in there, but this is the squash bed this year.
What's the red color in there?
That's the nasturtiums.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And are they're beneficial for the squash?
Help repel the squash bug. They'll actually get prettier as it gets colder. Yeah, because they're cool weather. I actually planted those in April. And this is the squash vine borers. How you prevent it, you see the aluminum foil?
Yeah.
It's around the stem so that the adult can't come in there and lay its eggs.
So you do a loop around the base
just
of the plant?
Top, just the top that's exposed.
What's the timing of that? How big is the plant when you put that on?
When they first fall over and start to run, mm-hmm. and I lost already one or two plants down at that end.
From the bore?
For the bore. I think I attracted them because I saw them in the white carrot seed flowers because they love that, and they're very colorful. Have you ever seen the picture of an adult? They're really quite beautiful.
What do they look like?
They're elongated, but they're red and white and black.
Oh, we're entering a little forest here.
Yeah. I mentioned this is the wheat, turkey red wheat.
Oh wow!
And it's almost done.
Yeah, I haven't. This is the first time I'm doing this.
So you just grind it up between your hands and then you blow on it and it becomes wheat.
Wheat berries.
Yeah.
And this is how you make gluten gum. Have you ever done that before?
No.
You suck on them for a while, chew on them,
mm-hmm.
and what you're left with is gluten, which is that real chewy spot, mm-hmm. and you have gum.
Okay.
I only do it this time of year.
When you harvest this, are you taking the entire plant and like laying it down, or how does this, there's a lot of material here. How do you actually do that.
Well, what I'll do is I'll take a tarp, put it on the ground, and put string across it with a loop on it, and I'll cut this off almost at the ground level, and I will tie it in bundles, and that's when I'll carry it into that room over there, and that's where I'll dry it.
And you're just stacking it up. I imagine it like pillars of beautiful wheat stacked in a field.
They call them shocks. Shocks. Or something like that. And in the old pictures of Europe, they have them stacked up outside until they get them inside, but they're in bundles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like this.
Yeah, kind of upright.
And upright.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And this is your hedge grove here with all kinds of stuff in it.
This is hedge grove, and this is the Austrian copper rose. It's done blooming. Mm-hmm. But there's choke cherries. There's a wild plum. I never planted that. This is eastern red cedar from a seedling. There's some Nankin cherry. There's some lilacs. Mm. There's forsythia, the currant we talk about all the time. Now, this one barely has any berries on it. And that's the one that gets those black currants. We call it a yellow currant or black currant. It has that yellow flower.
Yellow flowering currant?
Yeah.
The native. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But here, you can get to see the garlic harvest.
Okay, so this happened last weekend.
Yeah, this is last week.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, you can definitely smell it. Those two big, the bundles in the back, that's all seed for next year or for this fall planting. Yeah, and this is all to eat. And they actually got pretty good size. Pretty good size.
Big old bundles hanging here. It's gorgeous.
And I figured out how much weight that string can take. Because there's a few times I came in and everything was on the ground. So there's 8 bundles of 10.
And so how long do you let this dry out?
Until I need the space. They can hang there. I don't have any cool place. What I'll eventually do is it's cooler in the house. Uh-huh. And once I do that, I will put them in baskets and put them in the house. And it's cooler there.
Yeah. And so I assume you have regrown your own garlic year after year after year.
Yeah.
So do we know how many years you've been doing this one?
That one is probably over 20 years. And this one's probably more like 10. And that's the only two I'm going to keep now. For all the love you left behind, you can have mine.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF, and fresh out of the garlic storage room there at Lance's garden. That was what you planted in the fall, right?
That was the fall of garlic, yes.
Yeah.
And so since you've been there, the wheat has been harvested and tied in bundles, and the rye harvested and tied in bundles, and the spring garlic has also been harvested.
See, now that's interesting to me because you just harvested the fall garlic, so that's what you planted in the fall, and then the spring was right after it, so that's like
about
growing.
Two weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and when it struck me, when you were talking about how long you'd been growing that same garlic, the garlic, what I always call Letty's garlic in my yard, oh my God, it's been there. You know, since the 60s, probably.
Yeah.
Wow.
50s or 60s.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and at times probably barely hanging on, but there's been something there forever. I mean, for that long. And the other thing, too, is it struck me how different our gardens are, how different my chores in my garden are from the chores in Lance's garden.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the last couple of days, I've just been hacking and whacking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so gratifying. Oh, my God. You know, after all these perennials have done their thing, because and it was funny, too, because my neighbor said that another friend of ours who used to grow all vegetables is, you know, she just switched to mostly just all flowers. And I'm thinking, maybe that's just the natural thing, because that's sure enough what's happening in my yard.
Yeah, you're just feeling it, huh?
Yeah. Well, it just happens, you know. I mean, it's a smaller space. I'm not trying to grow enough food for the whole winter in every category. I'm getting ready to make sorrel pesto again and mm-hmm. arugula pesto. I have these specific things that I have that I eat, the mm-hmm. dried, all the dried herbs, and of course tons of garlic and the scapes and da 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 da. But it's not a complete diet.
But you've really zeroed in on what you use.
Yeah,
and
I've zeroed
that's
in.
That's the important thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a small space. I mean, you know, your garden is how much? How many?
It's huge. It's about an acre.
Yeah. And and mine's, I don't even know, 100 feet by 100 feet maybe, mm-hmm. the whole area.
Right, and different climates in your little garden too, that shade that you have. And then
I was thinking about this too. The grape arbor is a whole different venue. You know, and mm-hmm. I don't even go out there that much. And it's dripping grapes.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's so cool.
I love how fast grapes can come on and just cover a whole trellis.
And they're going up in the tree again, the little rats. I'm going to have to get them out of the tree.
Climbing their way.
Yeah. And the grapes that were gone after that huge frost that we had. Mm-hmm. When did we decide that was?
2.5 years ago.
Yeah, 2022, fall. They were gone, dead, out, nothing there. And those have come back now with a vengeance.
Wow, that's incredible. Huh?
They are trying to take over the chicken palace, everything.
They just needed a year off.
Yeah, they just took a break.
Right.
And then they love their chickens. The chickens live under them out there, and the mm-hmm. chickens have a big time.
Nice.
So,
and you keep tying your grapes up, right, Lance?
Yeah, keep them off.
Right, he's got a civilized scene, you know, where you actually,
it is very orderly,
you can see what you're doing, you know. Uh-huh. And mine are, I was just saying, when you were talking about the currants, oh my God, my currants are some, it's interesting. Do yours ever do this where they just get kind of webby and dry up?
Yeah, it's some bug.
Yeah, so I don't worry about that. They just get webby and dry up. Oh, we have another caller. And the red light went off. I love this red light thing.
It's the new excitement thing.
Yeah, okay. And so that's the story.
Yeah.
Glad you called. Who is it?
It is Skip, who wants to talk about watering. Hi, Skip.
Hi, Skip.
Hey, Jalou Lance.
Jalou Lance.
I didn't quite.
That was close enough.
I kind of mumbled that through. But
we hear you.
Hey,
no, I was calling to ask about watering, and like I heard you talking about watering earlier, and it occurs to me. I've got I think of as like kind of a weed garden in my backyard. You know, and they're like a bunch of plants. I think you planted them, so maybe they're not really weeds. But some of them, I think, just showed up. And like, you know, I'm looking at my water bill, and I'm like, dang, got kind of expensive all of a sudden.
But they're all new. Your plants are new.
Well, you know, and there's I've got like sprinkler heads, and it's an automatic system that like sort of. I feel like maybe I'm watering too much, but I don't really know how to know if I'm watering too much. And it's not, it's like, I've got some like white, I don't know what any of them are called, but like I've got some white flowers, I've got some yellow flowers,
I've
got some like star things.
I just
the bugs love
that.
Them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bugs are just like pollinating all over the place, and I like that. And we don't put any chemicals on any of it. I did notice that my water bill was significantly higher than it used to be back in the day, and I was like, dang. So I'm kind of just wondering, like, you know, and I think I'm doing like 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the afternoon, but then when I feel like I'm doing too much, sometimes I just turn the system off.
Yeah, are you doing that every day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
No.
They're like
no,
way
no.
too much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 3 times a week.
Mm.
Max,
wake
up.
This
is why I'm calling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, so they'll be okay, like, all these plants will grow anyway. Like,
yep.
I mean, it's direct, it's a lot of direct sunlight.
That's okay. Yeah.
What else is around the plants? Is it just dirt or or what have you got going on?
I've got like gravel and some like flagstone around. You know, and interestingly, like I have some grasshoppers, but I don't have like, I know some people are having like upper apocalypse situations, but we got some, but not that many, and definitely a lot of bees are floating around. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I like all that pollination going on.
Yeah, that's a great and wonderful thing.
Yeah, I would back up on the watering.
You guys are thinking like three.
Yeah. And see
three times a day, three times a week.
Yeah, and you can see what the leaves and the plants do. They'll sure show you what's right. going on. You know, they'll start to curl or something,
okay.
or they'll stay wilted. You know, in the morning. So, anyways, they'll let you know. But that's way too much water.
That's what I think too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And the town thinks so too.
I wish I had some ditch water or something like that, but I don't have that option where I am.
No.
No, and it's tricky. It's, you know, this rainwater catching and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. You know?
Sure.
But it's got to rain, and, you know, it rains, you know, puts down an, you know, half an inch in my rain gauge, and, you know, 200 yards away, there's nothing. So that's real tricky.
Right.
And what time, you said morning and evenings that you're watering?
Yes. Say like 6 in the morning, it's going off, and then more like 6:30 in the evening.
Oh, well, I would switch it all to the evening.
I would too. That was exactly it.
And because what happens, you water in the evening, and it has the whole night to soak in. You water in the morning, not water in the morning, don't get me wrong, but it will dry out faster. It doesn't get a chance because it's hot and sunny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
because
it's hot.
A lot of it stays on the surface.
That's right. So water more in the evening and go back to 3 days, maybe 4, and increase the time in the evening watering.
How what are your sprinklers?
Now I need a tutorial on. Do you guys do tutorials on how to work sprinkler systems?
Yeah.
The clocks?
Too dang complicated, I gotta tell you.
Well, they're computerized, and that leaves me out.
Oh, easy out.
Actually, I can figure it out, generally speaking. The thing that's flashing is the one that's going to change.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And what I do, I just call Rainbird. I call Rainbird and I go, hey, guys. And they go, what model do you have? And I tell them, and they go, whoa, that's really old.
Yeah. But
anyway. So anyway.
All the instructions.
I've actually got a relatively new one, and I tried to follow the directions, and it just seems so. I think I had kind of finally got it to my now I'm finding out my incorrect watering times, but it took me a long time just to get to this point, so I'm a little scared to change it, but I'll be brave and do that.
Well, you got the
weekdays.
Another
kind of random question.
I was just saying, you have the weekdays. Pick the days you want it on. The rest you turn off, and then you pick the time. Now, how to set that is a
whole. So would you say like every other day or something like that?
Sure.
Maybe
like Monday, Wednesday,
days go
Friday.
By
yep.
Here and there.
Yeah.
Yep. Mine are set for every other day, and half the time I don't even let them do that because it's too much. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So what's the random question?
Well, the other random question is, and I heard you talking about the water in general, too. Like, I feel like, I don't, you know, and maybe you'd have to check with some farmers' almanacs and stuff, but, like, have we been getting more rain this year than ever before, like, especially through June and
yes.
July? Like, I'm just, like, blown away at, like, weather. Like, and I like it. I love it. But it's just, like, holy smokes. It's really all of a sudden, like, I've never. Doesn't it usually like no rain in June and barely any in July?
Well, things are changing.
Start getting it in August.
Yeah, things are changing. It's just the way it is. Yeah. You know, I've noticed there's a lot of lawns that are still pretty green, and that speaks to cooler nights. Cloud cover is huge.
I was working in town today, yesterday, and I got rained out on Pitkin Mesa. I came to town, it was dry.
Yeah.
So it's, you just don't know where it's going to hit. And I didn't have any rain at my place. I just went,
Well, and it is super random. Like, I've been driving over McClure Pass, and then it'll be like complete cloudburst, like giant rain in, say, Somerset, and then I get to Peonia and it's dry as a bone, you know, and or vice versa, or, you know, be like, I mean, it's sort of Colorado weather, we you know that. But
it's random.
Yeah, it's always fun to see.
Well, save on your water bill, Skip.
All right,
cut
well,
back.
Cool. I know, this is good news for me.
Less is more.
Love you guys, Thank you for the sage advice.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
You're welcome. See you later.
Bye.
It takes courage to do some of this stuff, you know, to cut back or to pull out or to, you know, I'm hacking and whacking and it takes courage.
Yeah. The same with like thinning and that kind of thing. Yeah, it does. Yeah. You have to kind of go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Willie and Sarah came and hacked out my monster, and I do mean monster, comfrey plant. And I came around the corner and looked and went, whoa, that's really different. Cool. You know, and it'll be back.
Oh,
yeah. There's no way it won't be back.
Yeah. It's breathing now.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah.
All right. 527-486-8866, KVNF now. And we're going to go right up to Lance's Garden for a quick wind up there. Yeah, let's hear that.
All in good time, I gave it my best. I was alone till I found myself.
Yeah, these are the primakine. So in the fall, they're cut to the ground. So this is all new growth. And they start, this is a little early, you know, but late July, and I'll harvest clear tail frost. So this is the
sunflowers or
amaranth.
Oh, amaranth.
Yeah, and I pulled the hose in here just the other day, and it went, missed that thing, and I tore out three plants right there. But otherwise, it's doing really well.
Those are some hardy stalks on
that. Yeah, and I'll get 2 to 3 gallons of amaranth grain off of this. And then this is the popcorn, Jubilee Pop.
Wow, it's like 4 foot tall?
Yep. What I have to watch out for in this garden is that end down the east end of the beds, because the hedge grove is so close, that end dries out. If we walk down there, you can see that corn is already showing dryness.
Because the hedgerow is aggressively pulling water from that far away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And so I grow lots of dry beans. But this is Anasazi's. And you can see where the bean leaves change. That's a black bean, Brazilian black bean that I've had since 1978 or 79.
Oh, wow.
And this is that beautiful Arabian blue barley that fell over in all that rain and stuff. But I'll still get it. And it's not even close. This is still a minimum of 2 to 3 weeks out. And this is New York early onions.
Wow. These are seeds, right?
Yeah, it's a seed.
Yeah.
Head.
Those are like big bulby
little pom-poms.
Yeah,
and I'm just opening this up. See, those seeds are still white. Do you see that down in there? They need to be black, so they're not even near. But that's the seed, an unripe seed, and they'll eventually turn black. And what I do with those guys is I actually take a sheet and lay it on the ground, lay these things on the sheet and dry them further, because if I leave them here, half the seed will fall on the ground. It's just those things you figure out. You can let the beets dry in the thing and the carrots, but onions.
You have to catch this.
Yes.
Because it kind of falls out all over the place.
Yeah. Okay. The Detroit dark red beets.
For seed.
This is all
holy
seed.
Holy cow.
There'll be
about, seed.
There'll be about three or four gallons of seed. I won't have to grow this the rest of my life now.
And you've got a live trap here. What are you trapping?
I noticed something was eating my lettuce or seed.
Oh, uh-huh.
Just yesterday. So I put cayenne pepper on the lettuce itself and put a couple traps out. Once you put the cayenne pepper on there, it takes care of the problem. Whether you trap the guy or not. We'll take a look at that. There's a few white apricots up there, right there. They're early. They're the first ones. And I did grow that from a seed.
Wow. Look at that trunk.
And so this tree is maybe 25 by 20? And you grew from seed.
And then it's really vigorous. I could prune this down to a stub and it completely regrow.
Wow.
Which is amazing for stone fruit in general. But yeah. Oh, there we are. That's what keeps me busy.
Yeah. Very tidy.
Yeah.
So well thought out. You can tell the method of your madness.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to see everything. We talk about it every week and sort of imagine it, but here we are. And
I'm just sad that you can't all see what we're looking at because it's green and gorgeous and so laid out in straight rows and everything's very organized. It's amazing.
And you can tell you've figured out how to move the hoses and, you know, just the whole structure of it.
Yeah.
Has
somebody,
a logic to it.
What's that called? Hose management?
Hose management 101.
Yeah. I actually really don't care for the drip and all that tubing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it's very efficient with water, but it's a lot of plastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thanks for having us up, Lance.
Sure.
And
are we supposed to take a picture?
Yeah, let me take a picture of you guys. Where do you want to take it? All right, so fun. And thanks, Amber, for joining us up there.
Yeah, that was good. Good time there.
It was. And, you know, I just want to mention, you had your seed crops kind of all in one section. And the flowers on that and the insects were just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was just super cool.
They really liked the umbrils.
Mm-hmm.
And we had celery blooming.
Right.
Carrots blooming. And fennel. Little fennel. Just... Yeah, I wonder, Amber took a picture of that small little butterfly. I wonder if she found out what kind it is.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she's our bug aficionado for sure.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, the parsley. I love growing parsley. And this year, the parsley germinated in record time.
Last year, that was your...
Nemesis.
Yes, right?
Well, I kind of screwed it up too, but you know, whatever. The parsley, when it's in its second year and it decides to flower, it gets the coolest pollinators.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
These tiny little wasps and things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So growing those umbrals, and then I grow lovage too, and that loves... That loves those little pollinators. And it's so entertaining. I don't... know why everybody doesn't do it.
Right, and it sounds like Skip's garden has a lot of good pollinators on it. It's just life, just teeming with life.
When we had the seed class down at the Rogers Mesa Research Center, I think that was about 4 years ago, and we had a patch of carrots there going to seed, and one of the insect guys at the research station, that's where he'd go. To catch insects.
Right.
Yeah, that was his. I mean, he walked around the whole place, but that carrot patch.
Yeah, you just go through there and swipe that little net around, and he could get just about anything. Yeah.
Yeah, nice variety.
Yeah.
Put under the microscope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's when it really gets fun. Oh, speaking of microscopes, so I've been counting mosquitoes, and I get to look at unbelievable stuff. Nature is. Unbelievable. I mean, it just, you can't make this stuff up, what you see under there. And it's all so relevant. And it's the bottom of the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't think you just have to kill everything out there. Because you don't. And it's better for everybody. But also, the mosquitoes are out there, so be careful.
Yep.
You know, suit up when you're out there. And if you've just got a t-shirt on, forget it, man. They're going to bite right through it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I use lemon and eucalyptus.
Oh, is that
essential
good?
Oil.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good totally blend for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have two layers on.
Yeah, and Lance uses two layers. The other day, I had my blue jean shorts on, like I have. You know how it is. You cut your blue jeans off, right? And I was out there, bent over, and they were a little tight across my bottom, and one bit me right through the blue jeans. And
right there.
Okay.
I said, that's so unfair.
But that's anyway, not playing fair at
that's
all.
That's not fair. But anyway,
527.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, watch yourself.
Watch yourself.
527-4868-866 KVNF now. You've had some bugs in your garden that ate your mammoth sunflower. It's kind of that thing where you just go out the next day and
they're gone.
I had it covered. Munched. I had it covered with shade cloth. I had the shade cloth weighted down, and I have no idea. But there was not a trace. Not a stem, not a stump, no slug trail, no somebody pulled up the shade cloth and crawled under. Nothing.
Stealth.
It was total stealth. I suspect an earwig.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's some big eating for an earwig. Yeah,
but, well, then you, as I was saying that, and you said big eating, I remembered that I thought there's no way one tiny earwig could get all of that in its stomach. So I thought, well, you know, earwig mothers shepherd their babies around.
Yeah.
So a little family came in. Yeah.
It could have been a family affair.
Rodent. Yeah. Right.
And Lance says rodent, but I don't know how it got under that shade cloth and back out without a trace. Mm. Not even a turd. I mean, I was down there with my glasses and a magnifying glass, you know, looking nothing.
Right. Let's check in with Phil on the line, who has a question about potatoes.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Hi, Lulu. Hi, Lance.
Hi.
Hi.
Lance, I need to ask you some questions. I've got five rows of potatoes. They're each about 120 feet long, and three weeks ago, they were looking so beautiful. And I thought, man, I got this. They look pretty good. Of course, you never know what's underneath. But now, as the grasshoppers are getting more powerful, I'm in a quandary as to exactly how to handle the situation. And I have probably 10 plants now that are completely stripped. The leaves are completely stripped by the grasshoppers. And those are mostly on the outside two rows. But the inner rows still look good and are pretty thick, but I can see they're starting to just to thin a little bit from the grasshoppers eating the leaves. And I'm wondering how if the leaves are completely stripped, that plant is probably not going to produce any more tuber. Is that correct?
Well, not very much.
Right.
The leaves are gone.
Okay.
You know, it might keep trying to grow, but it's going to try to grow leaves and not tubers.
Right. Okay. At some point, in other words, I could, if they had some new potatoes on them, I might as well dig those ones up. If they're 90% of the leaves gone, or if the leaves are all gone,
yep,
just dig them up and salvage what I can.
Yeah, go okay. for it.
All right. Any other sage advice as to what to do with? It's getting ugly out there.
Yeah, you know, it's just the grasshopper thing. We've been talking about the different things that you can use. You know, I've been spraying at least twice a week, sometimes three times a week, the molasses and sugar and hydrogen peroxide.
Okay. And I know that formula. I guess I'm going to have to try it.
Yeah. And I've also added neem in there. I had one friend that I work for, and all she's been spraying is straight neem. She doesn't have any grasshoppers.
Yeah. Really?
Straight neem. And whatever, was it 2 or 3 tablespoons a gallon? I don't know.
Okay.
And that's one. And I've also, Jerry Lowe was mentioning that clove oil works. I don't know the proportions, but I've been putting about 5 drops of that in my gallon.
Okay.
Per gallon. So.
Okay.
There's that. In the book, it mentions compost tea, spraying with compost tea, and okay. you can mix these other things in there. And you can, I noticed that the Pennsylvania Farm and Home sells compost tea. So look when they have the sign out front.
They've got plenty up there.
Do they?
Yeah, Willie and Sarah make it, and, you know, so they've
okay.
they've got.
It just seems like it's so much that I have to. I better save something though. I think so. I yeah. think that it's a good. I got to try something different because I have the feeling that it may last, but then again, in a week's time, the change can be radical. So,
yes, yeah. absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well. Thank you for the great advice, yep. and have a good evening.
Thanks for the call, Phil. You yeah. have a good evening, too.
Bye.
Awesome. Bye.
That's a lot of potatoes growing up at the orphanage.
Yeah. yeah. You know, mm-hmm. he eats them. He likes them, and he eats them a lot. So mm-hmm. there you have it. Mm-hmm. But it's the same old story. You know, it comes down to, do you want to try to do something or not? Or, you know, just...
I think that there's hard. So many concoctions that we've, you know, rattled around right, that different right. people are using and having success
right,
with.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was thinking, you just mentioned cayenne pepper.
Yeah, you sprinkled it, that on.
Oh, the cayenne to keep the, I think it was a baby rabbit that's in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works on ants really well yeah. as well.
The cayenne pepper, when we were doing that seed class, the... Prairie dogs really liked the lettuce that we were growing out. That took care of them. Not only did I just uh-huh. put it on the plants, but I put it in their holes.
Oh, that's not fair. Bad form.
But anyways, yeah, there's lots of little things you can do like this. And just keep doing it.
Yeah, you have to stay on top of it. Yeah.
You know.
It's like you said, Lulu, you either give up or you just be persistent.
Right,
and,
yeah. right.
Yeah, you know, most grasshoppers are medium to large, but I'm starting to see the small ones again.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so you better stay on top of it for another few weeks, a month, whenever. I don't have that much coming in, but they're mm-hmm. still there in the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like August is always a big grasshopper month, mm-hmm. and we're not even there yet, so.
I caught some monsters. Now, I don't have a lot. And I go out every day. This is the thing about every day or every evening, whenever. But they are lazy and not as quick in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's yeah. been cool all night and they've been sleeping, they don't get out of bed real early. You can
no.
go out there and nail them. But, you know, Phil's talking 5 rows, 100 feet a row.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how far can you get before it gets... warm enough or, you know, whatever, later in
you
the morning
get
to
up
wake
real
up.
Early.
Yeah, well, he's good at that, though. He likes
yeah,
the
well,
morning. So, you know,
mix
you
up
figure
2 gallons
out.
Of stuff and
yeah.
spray and get as far as can. The next day you mix up
start
another two.
Yeah,
and just
try
keep
it
doing
again.
It.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Oh, man.
Thanks to our callers tonight. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. And to Amber for heading out to Worms on the Road with us. And, to you and Lance and Lulu, to both of you.
Oh, boy.
And we will be back next Wednesday for another edition of As the Worm Turns. Steve is coming up on Global Express right after this. So thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Yeah, have a good evening.
Good night, everybody. In real life, be kind. It works. Oh, little window. Oh, little window.